Welcome to GB Talks, hosted by me, George Bamford, founder of Bamford Watch Department and Bamford London. In this podcast series, I'm going to explore what I call oddball watches. I'm chatting with some amazing people throughout the series about the world of watches. Thank you so much for tuning in. And if there is ever any watch you would like me or my guests to discuss, please do get in touch. We're in for an absolute treat. We've got Ming Lu. Ming has already been on this podcast. You will have heard her talking about Rich & Mill. This time she's taking another big brand, Vacheron, and I cannot wait to hear what she's going to say. Ming, you've come back again, and this time I think you've chosen another amazing watch. Tell us what the watch is.
Yeah, well, first of all, George, thank you so much for having me on again. It's such a joy to talk about watches, especially because right now I'm not really seeing anything new, and it's so great, such a joy to talk about watches with someone who's so passionate. So thank you for having me on again. It's really fun. Right. So for the second watch I've chosen is the Vacheron Constantin American 1921, which is, I mean, the main reason why it's an oddball watch is that it's been rotated 45 degrees. So it has this rotated orientation, and it's just oddball because it's quirky. And the idea is that it was actually a driving watch made in, the first one was made in 1919, but then subsequently made throughout and then into 1921, hence the name. But it basically is for you to wear when you're driving with your hands on the steering wheel at 10 and 2, because we all practice safe driving.
Of course.
And so you could quickly glance at your watch and check the time while you're driving. And when you just look at it, it's definitely oddball, isn't it? It's off center, it's offbeat.
So taking the case yeah. is an unusual case. It is one of those cases where it's not a Vacheron Constantin type case. You know, normally it's a round case. This is definitely not. It's how would you describe the case?
Yeah, I think it's a cushion rounded case, definitely. So they've reissued this watch, I think around 2008 and 2009. So I tried on the reissued ones, which is called the Historiques. And it just sits well because it is that kind of rounded feel. But I love that contrast of the shape. You know, it's got that round dial, but that really strong geometric shape of the cushion shape. And the fact that it's topped off with the crown there at 1 o'clock, which is just kind of random but cool.
It's absolutely cool, and because it's not, the crown is actually at the 12, but it's at the 1.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
Because the whole watch is kind of, you know, I'd call it cook-eyed, or kind of a little bit kind of like it's probably drunk a little bit too much at a party or something. It's kind of one of those things. I think if you were actually, you'd probably stay another hour at a party.
Exactly.
It's kind of like you'd read it wrong in the middle of the night. But it really is. It's a cool watch. And when the reissue came out, I think you and I, you know, we didn't know each other much then, but it was just one of those watches that I came across it and went, wow, this is amazing. And you said you tried it on when the reissue happened.
Yeah. And I, really, just to kind of show how bad I am with technology, it's one of the first watches I posted on my Instagram. So much later, like, you know,
wow.
But the fact that I found that this is, well, first of all, I had to try it on and I had to post about it because it just looked so cool. And the version I tried on was platinum and with blue numerals, and that kind of contrast with the white and blue. It's just so sort of chic and just old, you know, and that's what I love about this watch. It's got that vintage feel, and because the dial takes after pocket watches, you know, 19th centuries style watches with those sweeping Arabic numerals, which I just love, you know, the way the 9 and the 6, they're really dynamic and they're really lively. And on blue and white, it just looks really nice.
It looks stunning in the blue and white. But also the re-edition, they didn't do a proper true homage to the past, because didn't they increase the size of the case from the original? Or
yeah,
you know, there was a few things that they did that kind of became more a nod to the future than totally the historic kind of watch. And I kind of love that.
You love that they made it more futuristic, that they changed
Size of it and also you know, even the edging of the case just seemed a little bit different. I mean, if you compare the edges to the original to this, it just seemed a little bit more like they pushed it a bit more.
Yeah, and I think, you know, with reissues happening so much, I think, you know, that's what's happening in the watch market now, is that all these old icons are coming out, and you do have to make them relevant for now, but all the things that we love about it, you need to keep as well.
Yeah, no, you really do. And it is such a great watch. And I also loved, look, I was desperate for it to have a black dial. I don't know why.
Really?
Because I just thought a beautiful
George Bamford wants a black dial. No.
Surprise, surprise. But the reason is because I thought, you know, if I looked at it, I'd love to have it in a black dial with the white numerals as a something totally different. Because I thought, or gold numerals on the yellow gold with a black, you know, they've got it on a crocodile strap, but I would imagine on a beautiful strap with a black dial with gold numerals. I would just love it because it would just, it suits my world. But
but
I also like it because it is such a, you know, you're on an amazing clubhouse, you know, there is some amazing clubhouses of watches that feature for men and women. I think this watch crosses both of those, you know, and I think it was originally designed for men, but now when you look at it, doesn't matter the size, this can be on both wrists and look amazing.
Yeah, and I think all those driving references as well. I mean, I'm not a car nut at all. I don't really care what I'm driving. I should think about my audience, because you're a major car person. But still, I love this watch, even though I know nothing about driving and motoring, but I love how its design has been completely driven by function. I think it came about in that period in the 1990s when I think a client basically asked to have a watch that he could wear while he was driving it. And also, it's that period of the Roaring Twenties, right after the war, and I'm sure the car was a symbol of, you know, freedom and travel and adventure, which is also why I really love it. So it has all that history.
And it is also a nod to our times now.
Oh, yeah.
You know, everyone keeps on talking about the Roaring Twenties, you know, and we're going to be hitting the next Roaring Twenties after this weird world that we've been in. But, you know, it could be that the next, you know, big thing is about travel or next thing is about something else. You know, we want to break out of this. And I think that's this watch. I love the concept of a client asked for this watch to be made. You know, can you imagine if Vacheron said, oh yes, we're going to be making one today for a customer? That it would probably take X amount and cost a fortune. But back in those days, I don't think it would have been that. They would have gone, yes, sir, we can do that.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, someone like you as well, you know, you're all about bespoke, or that's where you started, and you understand that. And I think, I guess, as a journalist who looks at all these things and covers all the new watches coming out, the fact that it's driven by someone who just wanted it for a pure function while he has his hand at 10 and at 2, and he could check the time, and now it's an iconic watch 100 years later.
Because people have always tried to do the driving watch. You know, you've got the bullheads that came in and that were very much, hey, can we do it this way, the chronograph, and this, for me, it does seem very form following function. It's kind of, and that's what I love about it, is it is visible. It's not, you know, as I said to you, if I was drunk in the and at a party, I think I would be. It's almost like the Frank Muller crazy hours, that you can't tell the time. It's you've got to actually read the time. This is a little bit the same. You've got to kind of figure out that the crown is the 12.
Yeah, it's properly oddball.
It is, yeah. But it's elegant oddball.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that, you know, when I look at it from the shape, from the design, and even the pairing that they did for the watch with the crocodile strap, it just feels... It feels an elegant sports watch, driver's watch. And I don't think, you said it, but I want to kind of delve into this, is the customer shouldn't, you know, should they look at the past of this? Should they care about the driving idea? Or should it be, this is now the future? You know, what would be your kind of idea?
I think the history is really important, more that the story, because I think watches, as we know, they're very social pieces as well, right? They're conversation pieces. And someone's going to sit next to you at a dinner party and you'll be wearing this watch and they'll be like, you know, they'll sort of do a double take and they'll first ask, have I had too much champagne? I mean, what's wrong? And then the person wearing it will explain, well, this is based on a client who wanted a watch, blah, blah, blah. And I think that history is important, so just so that you can tell that story.
Do you think a driver would be wearing this now, or do you think it's moved off from that kind of total connection to the driving world?
Oh, I think a driver would definitely wear it. I mean, like I said, I'm not a petrol head or any kind of car person, but I was thinking about that the distinguished gentleman's ride of that motorcycle ride where people get dressed up.
Oh, yes, yes.
On a classic bike, and they get dressed up to the nines in tailoring suits. And you'd strap that watch on. And I think maybe someone wouldn't put it on just to drive, but once they have and they've started wearing it, they probably would wear it more and more and be like, well, it does have that function. And I would think drivers would wear it as a driving watch. It's kind of like the driving loafer, right? Like, people don't wear, and people wear them on the beach.
Yeah,
but they do wear them when they're driving, yes, as well. Once they kind of realize, well, actually, all these parts of that soul, they're there for a reason.
No, I see that, and I would love to see it on people's wrists. I think you're right. The Distinguished Gentleman's Driver Series. I remember first seeing that with Wei Ko when he was on his motorbike, and I was just like, this is awesome. And Zenith had been, I think, one of the sponsors of it. And it was just, and it, I could imagine actually the gentleman wearing this. I could imagine it being gentleman or gentlewoman. I think both sides. I think it could be rock. It could rock. I think you would rock it, of course. I don't know on a motorbike, but I'd say is it works in that world. It is an elegant one, but you know, I'd love to see, you know, it's scratches on the case. I'd love to see, you know, I'd love to see it being worn, because I think that's what's the thing about it, is it's not a show pony as a watch. And I think that, you know, when you go Vacheron and you go a historic piece, you kind of think it should be a show pony left in the safe, and you bring it out to show someone and go, look at what I've got. But if you saw it on someone's wrist, you'd with dents and dinks and things like that, you'd go, it's almost so much cooler.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point, because I remember seeing one online and it did have all those dents and scratches. And just because it has that whole vintage look, when you add all that, it makes it much more interesting. And you're like, gosh, where did he wear it? Did he wear it on a bike, or did he buy it at an auction and someone really wore it? You know?
It's kind of like, what I always love is, I used to live in New York and used to go down to the Ralph Lauren store just, downtown, and you know, they'd have like vintage belts and you saw the leather just falling away and all these different things, and you just go, oh my god, this is amazing. And you almost want this to kind of age up and just kind of have that feel to it. I know for the price, a lot of people go, are you mad to have a dink or a dent in it? But I kind of think that maybe it needs to have that. Maybe it needs to have that kind of the edges, a little bit of kind of love put into it.
Yeah, I think actually if I were to buy one and if I could afford it, I would probably want to pick up a used one, pick up one at auction, because you want that story behind it. Because certainly I won't be riding it on a bike, to answer your question. I will not be on a bike. And I probably would ride it driving, but, you know, in a very safe car with lots of airbags, and I can do hands-free driving. So it wouldn't sort of suit the purpose. But yeah, I think if I were to own this watch, it would be, I would like to pick one up at auction. And I did see one at auction, which is actually owned by the late David Tang.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and he had it. I saw it at a Christie. I think it was a Christie sale, because when it was an interior sale. And I was there looking. I was thinking to buy a desk or something. And then I saw this watch in one of the display cases, and I couldn't believe it, because, I mean, I guess David Tang would wear something like that. It was also engraved with message in the back that was really sweet. And I just thought, gosh, I wish I could have been on that watch, but a bit out of my price point. But yeah, I think it's,
yes,
at auction. Maybe it'll come up again.
I know. And I bet it would have smelt of wonderful cigars, and it would have been that kind of like that whole encapsulating of David Tang's world. You know, it's a name from the past that I miss. You know, his books are amazing. He's amazing, and it's not a watch I would think he would wear. And that's what I love is that. You know, I think the people that will wear this are people that you'd go, oh, really? Oh, wow. I think there's something along that lines. It is, you know, if I saw someone wearing this, I would be like, I don't know, it would start a big conversation. I don't know what you would think. Would you go up to someone and be like, oh my God?
Yeah, I think, and I mean, more on the other side, I would love to wear it and just be like, hey, look at my watch, and actually explain why it's that way and why it's a bit kooky. And like you said, David Tang is probably not the first person that you'd think would be wearing it, especially because he was probably in the back of a Rolls Royce as opposed to driving it, you know, sort of was his lifestyle. But he still obviously wore this watch, and it was worn. I remember it wasn't, you know, hadn't been in a safe.
Oh, I love
that. And it was,
I just
made me see him in a new light. Absolutely.
Yeah, you're totally right. I can imagine it in his Hong Kong restaurant, you know, and that club. And I can imagine like the noodles being done and him having the watch and kind of be like, I've got to go to my next meet. I can imagine now it works so well for him.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh yeah. Yes. Sorry. I'm kind of going down a rabbit hole of kind of just, kind of
David
the wonderful
Tang's world, yeah.
David Tang's world, but it is such a surprise of a person I think would wear it. But I think it is that elegance. It's also something that if you know, you know. And I think that's what the whole of this premise of Oddball Watches is. If you know how damn cool this watch is. It is kind of one of those watches. The movement's amazing, and I'm sure, you know, if we can go into the movement, but it's really, for me, it's the case, it's the crown being off center, it's the cushion case that is amazing. Even how they've done how you connect the strap to the case, you know, it is amazing to think that the spring bars are a totally different kind of way. They've been accentuated on even how that is. It's just the things are beautifully done with such elegance that Vacheron, you know, is one of the brands that could really do it well.
Yeah, I mean, it's always billed as one of the oldest watchmakers out there since 1755. And if anyone can play on that past, it's definitely them. And I like we talked about the Roaring Twenties, and that's all what we're talking about now as we come out of this pandemic. And it's going to be nice to see a return to that vintage elegance, that really kind of quirky, understated elegance as well. Because I don't know about you, but actually, George, you're always wearing a suit and tie, or at least always wearing a tie. I mean, every time I see you, you're always wearing a tie. And I don't know. I don't want to see any more hoodies and loungewear. And, you know, I think this is it's also probably why I picked it sort of subconsciously, because I want to see a return to that bygone glamour.
Yeah. Well, you did the same with your last pick as well. You wanted to see the kind of the 70s Studio 54 return. And I think it is, you know, for me, this watch reminds me of Gatsby. It reminds me of Scott Fitzgerald. It feels like it's this watch is the watch that you would probably wear to Annabelle's that feels like it's out of a page out of Scott Fitzgerald's, that you feel like there's going to be a crazy return to kind of hedonism in its own way. And this watch is that kind of Gatsby-esque watch. And I agree with you.
Yeah. I mean, and wearing, you know, bejeweled headbands, you know, things like that.
Yes.
Like that's what I want to be wearing. And like lots of diamonds and
And it's kind of like the black tie or the parties that you would go probably not, you used to always go no to. And now it's kind of like, oh yes, I'm going to be, I need to, I need to dress up. I need a reason. No, I think this watch is that. I think it is the elegancy. But, you know, when you look at the videos from Vacheron, see the videos of this, it is always associated with the driving experience. And I think that's one of the things that I think it is that return. It's a return to great, great old driving, you know, experiences, great journeys that you would never normally go on. And I think that's the thing of everyone's desperate for it. And I think that's what happened in the 20s. And I think that's why, you know, it was that Great Depression and then it came out. And I think that's probably why the watch was that kind of celebration of fun. You know, I can't wait to see what's going to be happening next. You know, if you see that our roaring 20s should be starting in, let's hope, in the next year and a bit, you know, there's going to be some great futures in watches potentially.
Yeah, it's actually a good point. I wonder when we all start seeing each other again and attending events and dinners and launches. I wonder what watches people will put on. I wonder, you know, when they get dressed, will they put on their really sporty, chunky watches, or will it be more kind of refined watches like this?
And would it be a nod to the 90s? Would it be a nod to the 2000s? Will it be, you know, would it be a nod to the future?
Yeah.
You know, would it be, you know, actually we've been in loungewear, but we want to have something that's lightweight, or, you know, there's so many questions that it's quite interesting. But I don't think that we will return to the norm of trying to be the same as everyone else. You know, I don't see that, you know, the watch brands that we'll choose will be, we've had more time to research. And I think that's what the great thing. Yeah. Something like the Vacheron, it does need, you know, I look at Vacheron Constantin and they're not in this, it sounds strange, but you hear about Patek, you hear about Audemars Piguet, and you do hear about Vacheron, but you don't hear about them on the same level. And it really is. It's that real jump up of a brand. It is one of the oldest brands, but it is doing these wonderful, wonderful watches. And, you know, when you see the sunlight shining on this watch, I think it is that thing. It deserves the sunlight.
Yeah. No, especially with the top down, wind in your hair. Yeah.
Definitely. No, but even as a brand and as of a design of this, I think, you know, that's where I think Oddball is the great thing, is because it is that thing of putting highlight on not the norm, not the thing that we see on everyone else's wrist.
Yeah, and I don't know if, like Richard Mille, when we spoke last time, I've never seen anyone with this watch. And the only, like I said, the only time I ever saw it was at the auction when David Tang, but it's one of those things where if you did see it, there's very few people that are also going to be in with that watch on as well. It's a beautiful piece, like you said.
I would also say, as I think this podcast series is going to be making me very, very poor, because every time I see a watch, I fall in love with it. And last time, of course, I could never afford it, but I love the in-depth story of what, why, what, how, you know, how did it come about? What's the story behind it? And that's the love, you know, the love, you know, Ming, I love how you talk about these watches being the oddball, but also the things that delight you. And that's what I love, is I love this delight.
Yeah, I think they've got to put a smile on your face. At least that was the brief that I felt from you when you said, Ming, pick an oddball watch. And it's got to make you smile.
Definitely.
Because we need that now more than ever, especially.
Definitely. I agree. Ming, thank you so much for being a part of GB Talks. I'd love you to come back again. Each time you come on this, you bring something.
Pressure's mounting.
No, but you bring something that makes me want to research it. Last night I was researching this watch. I was wanting to kind of, so I was looking at every video, and I would suggest anyone that's listening to this, please do that. And look at these watches, understand them. Look at the, there's so much out there. There's so many YouTube videos. There's so many things about these watches, and this watch especially, when you look at it, and you can all automatically get that feeling on your wrist without having it on your wrist. And that's what I love about this.
Yeah. And once you put it on, and I think that's probably why it was one of my first ever posts on Instagram, because I just, because you look at it obviously and you think, wow, cool. But once you put it on and you sort of angle your wrist as if you're driving a car and everything, it's just so, yeah, it's really fun.
It's cool.
And go watch films about it, because you do need to sort of see it in motion and alive.
And if you can get into a store, go and try it on, because I mean, it really is. And what I always say about a watch is, it's got to want to steal it. You know, if you put it on your wrist, you kind of go, it fits in with most of those environments, man or woman. And that's the great thing, is I love what you said. It was one of your first posts, and I bet it was a larger size. I bet it rocked, and I bet it looked amazing on your wrist.
It did. If anyone wants to gift me this watch, yeah, no, seriously, it is though. It's really stunning. Really fun. Cool. Church, thank you so much for having me on again.
Thank you. Ming, what a cool driver's watch. Vacheron Constantine knocking it out of the park as usual. Darren Michael, our rock star producer, thank you so much. Listen here for more GB Talks. Thank you so much.